Well, this is, we're going to continue our sermon. This is sermon time, and I want to pray with you before we look at this, because this is the one Sunday, first Sunday of November, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church every year. I'd like to tell you I look forward to this Sunday, but it's actually a difficult Sunday, because I don't feel like I'm the person who should be talking about this. I've never been persecuted. Oh, I've been uncomfortable a few times, but I've never been persecuted. And yet, as I prepare for this message every year, my heart is always moved as I learn the stories. And you're even going to see a video today of those who don't enjoy what we enjoy. I came to church this morning. Nobody stopped me. In fact, I stopped at Quick Trip wearing my jacket. Hey, going to church? Yeah, God bless you, brother. I mean, it's celebrated here. In fact, you know, we can come to church or maybe not come to church. Just depends on how we're feeling, right? What's happening that day. But there are parts of the world they'd give anything to be able to have what you enjoy. And so this morning we're joining hands globally for 24 hours. Think about all the time zones around the globe the church is praying. And today we're praying for persecuted Christians around the world. According to the World Watch List, released by Open Doors International, 4,305 people died in 2018 because of their faith. Here's the sad part. That compares with last year, 3,066. In fact, for the last 5 years, the numbers have been on the rise. They state that currently 1 out of 9 Christians in the world suffer some form of persecution at a high or extreme level. 1 in 9. They state that persecution is growing. 783 churches were attacked in 2017, 1,847 in 2018, and well over 2,000 in 2019. Imprisonments have doubled over the last year. Here on the screen is a World Watch List map. Every year we get it updated. This is 2019. Some of it's washed out. The white part, that's us. How appropriate. We can't see that. But this particular map illustrates 3 different levels of persecution. High persecution areas are light brown. And those areas have grown from 60 countries to 73 countries in the last year. Very high persecution areas are the dark brown. The red areas are what are identified as extreme persecution. And the washed out area that you can't see, that's us. We are the free church. We have very little persecution, or what we call persecution, really, again, is more just being uncomfortable, having some difficulty navigating in our culture, but we still have some incredible freedoms, is that right? In China, the situation of religious freedom is the worst it's been in the last decade. Next Sunday, when Grady and Sandy are here, they're just returning from Moscow, and they'll be sharing with us. And they've been to China probably 4 times this year, and they will testify of this reality. China has risen from the level of 27 to 43 in the last 10 years. 50 is the max. That's what's happening in China. Hundreds of churches are being closed and crosses are being removed from buildings. Over 1,200 believers were arrested last year and imprisoned. In Latin America, Mexico has a rating of 39 and Colombia a rating of 47. Say, wait, we go to Mexico, don't we? Yeah, makes you pause. What's going on there? Don't they have freedom of religion? Didn't you go to churches there? Yeah. They indicate that there are high levels of organized crime and corruption, and Christians who stand up against this by trying to prevent young people from joining the ranks or refusing to engage in illegal activities are seen as a threat by the criminal gangs and are being targeted. For the 18th year in a row, North Korea still holds the top spot on the watch list, followed only by Afghanistan and Somalia. So our 2019 video, and every year we show one, and this year's video, because of that, is targeting North Korea, and we're going to follow a brother who became a Christian in North Korea And you're going to hear, and this is a real story. Before I continue the message, I want you to watch this. Let it move your heart like it did mine.
In 초등학교에서 우리는 선교사들은 모두 승량이 되라고.
In the primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists. They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver. There was no food and no work in my village. Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China. I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all. But in the mountains, I met a man. He said, I can sell those for you. And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han. Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this, for he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korean. It is because I am a Christian, he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver? One day, Pastor Han said to me, God is real. There is hope for every person. I could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. Journalists will write about you, and no one will ever dare ask where you have gone. One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. Why would you bring that here? She cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested. And not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope. And then I shared the word of God with my best friend. It was very dangerous for me to share.
다시는 연락하지 말라.
우리 모두한테 좋은 소식이야.
It was very dangerous for him to listen. 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work, for killing a terrorist missionary in Chiang Mai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened. Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 한 목사를 만났다는 것을 알아냈을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 방영 또 하는 소리.
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life, but he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans. And despite the ever-present danger, many of us will continue to share the message that God is real.
하나님이 살아계신다는 사실을 계속해서 다른 사람들에게 말.
We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile, just like it was for Pastor Han.
한 목사님이 그러셨던 것처럼 말입니다.
We gather this morning in the spirit of Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners, as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Our children this morning are going to be talking about this subject as well. In fact, and some of you parents, I think, are already aware, they even have flashlights for the children this morning, and they're going to make their way downstairs and have worship in a classroom, with, just to have the sensation of having sometimes to hide, to be able to worship and be able to address this very scripture and to be able to pray. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you some homework. You're going to have some very practical things that I'm going to ask you to do. And I'd like to take the opportunity this morning, even though I am probably not worthy to do this, but I'd like for you to consider what I call five fruits of persecution. Five fruits of persecution, and they all come from one tree. All of them, the tree of persecution. Number one, eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. Matthew 5:10-12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the Beatitude. There's a lot of blessings in there, right? I think 9 of them. But this is the blessing. I always say this is the blessing no one really wants. But it's listed in there with all the other blessings. He said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. You want to go to that scripture, brother, so they can read it? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I have found personally, even in some of the traveling I've done, that those who are in the hardest situations seem to have more of an eternal perspective than I do. Everything filters through it, and Jesus pretty well laid it out there for them, didn't he? Because when you're going through persecution, it brings everything into focus. There's no longer fuzzy areas, but it gets really focused real quick. I can't help but think it's not on the screen, but Daniel 3, you know the story. We learned it in Sunday school of the Hebrew boys. And they refused to bow at the altar that had been built, the image. And so they were threatened with their lives. Is that persecution? It was some of the first persecution, right? In fact, they said, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace if you don't bow. And I was so taken by their words, these great men of faith, when they said to the king, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, he has delivered us out of your hands, O king. What is that? That's the eternal perspective, isn't it? What are they saying? We win. We win. Either way, we win. Our God can do it. But even if he doesn't. And then he said, let it be known to you this day, we will not worship the golden image. They were willing to undertake persecution at the cost of their lives because they had an eternal perspective. Here's number two fruit. Out of persecution comes true joy. True joy. In 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, the writer says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God rest upon you. The Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. And on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Isn't it strange? All those, the rejoice, be exceedingly glad. Those are not words I associate with persecution unless you understand that true persecution will actually create this divine joy within us. He goes on in verses 15 through 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. He's declaring something very important here, because sometimes we confuse persecution with punishment. Sometimes punishment comes because we have done wrong. That's not persecution. Sometimes things are difficult for us because we're arrogant and prideful. Sometimes it's because we're just jerks. It's not because we're standing for our faith. And he said, not. In fact, isn't it interesting in here? He talks about murderers, thieves, evildoers. What's he including in that list? Busybodies. Gossip. Boy, he's putting that on a high level, isn't he? In fact, I think if you want to get rid of gossip in the church, persecution will do it every time. Because all of a sudden, things focus real quickly, and these fringe things just don't matter anymore. And here he's saying, when we suffer, we're not going to suffer because we've done something bad. We're going to suffer because we've done something good. In Acts, the 5th chapter, verses 41 through 42, we know this scripture well. The apostles had just been whipped, and they were told, don't you preach anymore. You're no more. Won't want you to mention the name of Jesus. And they went out, says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. And did they heed the warning? No. Daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. Let me say something here. I believe as Christians, we should be law-abiding citizens. We should be the best at it. But there will be times when civil disobedience will be in order, when the law of the land conflicts with the law of God. So if someone tells us we cannot share Christ, we're going to have to take this position, and you may pay the price for that someday. Now, right now, you're pretty free. You're pretty free. But what are you doing with your freedom? We have the freedom and don't use it. There are others who don't have the freedom that would love to have it. And so the question is, why do you live in America? Why are you in the free church? Why aren't you somewhere else? Because God chose you to be here. And it's a wonder. I love it. I love being in this country and having all the freedoms I have and the comforts I have and the prosperity I have. But the question is, what am I doing with it? My definition of godly joy, you've heard it before, here it is on the screen. A delight in God that's not affected by pain or pleasure. That's true joy. See, some of us have joy but it, we got to have that comes out of pleasure. I was meeting with Kenny Collins this week. He retired. And so I went his last day of work and met him as he was handing in his badge and all this stuff, and took a picture of him out in front of his office. And then we went to Doodah Diners to celebrate. Anybody been to Doodah lately? They've remodeled it. They can seat a lot more people. Don't go there if you're on a diet. My goodness gracious. But I had just finished listening to a program from Voice of the Martyrs, and we were talking about this whole idea of persecution and how would we respond if we were in that situation. And we talked about our personal comfort that we have, and Kenny made a statement, I wrote it down. He said this, "We must be careful that we do not confuse comfort for peace." I thought about that. It's true, isn't it? When we're in a comfortable place, we call that peace. But that's not the true peace we're talking about, because the peace that God offers to us, it's present all the time. It's like when Jesus was in the boat on Galilee in the storm, and he was sleeping, and the disciples were fretting. He doesn't care that we're perishing, when really all they needed to do was curl up next to Jesus and know that peace. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not tied to pain or pleasure. And I think persecution brings that to the surface. Number three, persecution is a sign of true conversion, or it will bring out the fruits of true conversion. In John 15, 18 through 20, "If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." I believe, and this is what Kenny and I were talking about, our greatest vulnerability in the land of the free and prosperity is our love for the world. And I'm talking about me, okay? I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything, but I really, every year I have to wrestle with this. Lord, how much do I love the world over loving you? One of the tests would be persecution. What would I not be willing to give up? Paul declared, "All that I have counted as gain now is loss, next to knowing Christ. Nothing in this world compared to it." And it's easy in our setting to be very comfortable. I know we all say we have these needs, but listen, we are so blessed. We have homes to live in. We have freedom. You can get a passport and go anywhere in the world. What are you doing with it? Oh, take a good vacation maybe. What about a missions trip? See, if we think in terms of kingdom, and Jesus is saying, listen, be careful. Be careful. Don't. That's where we are vulnerable in this land. If I was going to pick something, it would be the threat of losing our comfort. This story that I heard this week was about North Africa. It was church history. Going back to the year 620 to 720, 100 years in North Africa. In 620, Christianity was thriving in North Africa. 100 years later, you could hardly find a Christian church. What happened? I was thinking they were going to say, oh, the sword. They came in and killed all the Christians. He said, no. It happened over 100 years. And what was it that destroyed the church? They were marginalized. They were told they couldn't have the good jobs. They were made to live on subservient provision. They were made fun of. They were shamed in public. And all the comfort they knew was taken away from them. And before long, the church was gone. I can't help but think of Jesus' words. And I'm asking, this is my prayer, Lord, judge my life. Do I love the world more than I love you? Part of me doesn't want to be tested. What, Pastor, you don't think you'll do well? I'm suspicious of myself. Here in the pulpit, if you're ever up here, you'll see it. It's taped right here for me to see every week. It's a little checkoff list. It's from A2 Ministry. I put it there a couple years ago on a Sunday like this. It was a checklist of questions put together for church planners in South Asia. Before somebody was to be water baptized, they had to answer seven questions. We just had a baptismal, didn't we, a few weeks ago? I don't remember these questions. One, are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father? Two, are you willing to lose your job? Three, are you willing to go to the village of those who persecute you and forgive them and share the love of Christ with them? Four, are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? I'm kind of glad that's in there. Number five, an offering, of course, it's church, right? Are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Number six, are you willing to go to prison? And number seven, are you willing to die for Jesus? I have that there every week to remind me, because none of those things really, my life, I don't have to answer those questions, but someday I might. And my question is, how would I answer them? Or would I be willing? In 2 Timothy 3:10 through 13, the Apostle Paul said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my love, my perseverance. He's talking to young Timothy here. He's giving this list. What's in the list? Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. The word endured means to remain under without being crushed. It was a heavy weight. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's evident in the New Testament, persecution was kind of assumed, not so much for us today. But you know what intrigues me most about this scripture? Who wrote it? Paul. Paul used to be Saul. Saul stood by for the first Christian martyr in Acts as they stoned Stephen to death. Saul was the one who held everyone's coat and encouraged them to kill him. Saul was there when he saw Stephen look up into heaven and said, Lord, don't hold this against them. He was a great persecutor of the church. In fact, when I read this scripture, you know what it does for me? It convinces me the gospel is true. Think about what would make the persecutor become the persecuted. Think about that for a minute. This man, he was a Hebrew among Hebrews. He had position. He had respect. He gave it all up and went from being a persecutor to being persecuted. You don't do that for a fairy tale. Something happened to this man, and persecution showed us the true conversion of this man, true repentance. He turned his life around. I think sometimes in our country, we lose the power of the word conversion. When people are converted, in fact, we have a doctrine in our country, and I believe there's truth in it, that if you come to Jesus, your life will be wonderful. And you're going to get a good job, and you're going to have more than enough, and prosperity. And I think there's some truth to that. But be careful that we don't subtly be sucked into loving the world and forget. Listen, what would you still come to Christ? What if the promise was these seven questions? Would you still be baptized? It might be a different story, right? And I'm just questioning myself. I'd like to believe that I'd say, check, 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 check. But that's easy for me to read that list living where I live. Number four, no acts. No acts. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word genuineness is where we get the phrase no wax in the Greek. Everybody who read that understood in that day and age, if you wanted to have a vessel, if you wanted to have some bowls in your house, you want to go buy some pottery, you'd go to the potter's house. You'd be looking for a sign. If you saw this sign, it was a you knew it was reputable. It would say, no wax. No wax. If you saw that outside the potter's house, what that simply meant was that you could trust that potter, because some potters, they would have a flawed pot and they would cover it with wax and then they'd paint it. And if you looked at it, you couldn't tell the difference. And what he's saying here is that these pots are tested by fire, because the only way you'd know if there was wax is if you heated it up. And I believe persecution is a vehicle that is oftentimes puts us in a place to find the wax in our life. And my prayer this week, as it always is every year, Lord, no wax. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I don't want to paint myself up and be theatrical. I really want to be sincere in my faith. Lord, please remove the wax. And I'll tell you how I'll do it. Your faith will be tested by fire. Someone, I think it was Brad, came up to me after service. There's a some of you know the Chinese tradition with some vessels that are broken. They will fill the cracks with gold, and it becomes what they call a redeemed vessel. Because some of you say, well, what happens if I go through the fire and I got wax? Well, first off, the fire's going to melt your wax away. But then I think what God's going to do, he's going to put gold in there, precious metal. And then the vessel becomes more valuable than it was before. In fact, the cracks are almost pronounced. And that is true of our lives, isn't it? We are broken vessels. And God's coming in to redeem us, but he doesn't want us to do it with wax. He's going to do it with something much more precious than that. And lastly, number five, I believe this is so true, persecution, I see it everywhere I go, unity. Unity, connectivity, oneness of the body of Christ. We come back where we started, Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. I believe persecution brings people together. You know, so often in the free church, there's so much, and I'm not saying here, but you hear about all the time, this conflict, division, strife. I'll tell you, in the persecuted church, it doesn't exist. Because persecution will bring you together. It's true. It's true in your family. If you go through a hard time together, it kind of melts you together, doesn't it? It's the same way in the church. I believe persecution, out of that tree of persecution comes the fruit of unity and oneness. In 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Wow, what a reality. Well, what are we going to do with this message? First off, and you'll see on the screen, we're going to ask you to pray. It is our prayer emphasis this month, and you'll see it in the messenger. You'll see the prayer emphasis, and we give you 10 ways to pray for the persecuted believer. I think it's in here. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Prayer emphasis, November 2019. Would you commit with me today to pray every day and take this paper, cut it out, put it in your Bible to remind you to pray every day for persecuted believers? You don't have to know their names. We want to do what the writer of Hebrews has challenged us to do. One, to remember. How do you remember? Well, you can tie a little string around your finger. We do that to remember. Oh, that's supposed. I have a little list. How many of you are like me? I can go to the grocery store, get back home. My wife goes, "You got everything but what I asked you to get. Where's this? I forgot." So what helps me, I got to have a list. Thank God for these phones, you know, make a little list and remind me. Well, sometimes I think God is sympathetic with our forgetfulness. We need to remember, and this will be a helpful way. Every day, begin to pray. By the end of the month, you're going to be amazed as you connect with the body of Christ worldwide in your prayers. Now, here's something real practical you can do today. Out in the hallway are these envelopes. I think we have how many left? We only have 26 left. First service ate them up. We got 26 of these. What is this? This is what we call an action pack. And we got these, of course, the Voice of the Martyrs. And we've already paid the shipping on them and everything. And you can take this sack. There's a list in there of what you got to put in it. It's going to look something like this when you get done. This is just one sample. All right? And it just has to fill that sack. Follow the instructions. You can do this as an individual. Or you can do this as a group. This one's for my wife and I, so I'll just give that to you. We already got ours. This isn't included in that number, so you could do it as a group. You got a faith group, fill a sack. An owl group, you know, as long as they last. If we run out, I don't know, I guess we can get more. I'm not sure, but we would try to do that. Nothing would thrill me more than to run out of these sacks. But this is a practical thing to do. And then we're going to pray over them. Voice of the Martyrs is going to take them, and they're going to ship them out. We've already paid for that to happen. We don't know where they're going. We know who they're going to. We just prayed over it in faith. But I believe it would be a great encouragement. You can put a picture of your family in there. Put a little note in there. They'll tell you what to say, what not to say. Another thing we're doing, not on the screen, we already started last Sunday night. We picked a couple prisoners who are in prison right now in other parts of the world, and we're writing to them. We'd like you to participate in that if you feel led to do that. And we will take your letters, and we will pray over them. We're not going to send them out in mass. We're going to send them out one by one, one by one. So there's a steady flow. Now, here's the deal about those letters. They might not get to their destination, but somebody will read them. It may be a guard, maybe a government official. I don't know. But we pray over them. God, whatever you want to do with this letter, do it. So what you write in there, write it with the idea, what if somebody reads this who is one of the persecutors? In the bottom of your insert, you'll see three H's there. And I heard Adrian Rogers share this the other day, so I wanted to put it there just real quick. I call it three streams of living. He calls it three levels of living. They're true. The first one is a hellish level. Hellish. That's where evil is returned for good. Comes right from the pit. Where people who are good suffer for doing good. The second H is human, the human level. This is where we return evil for evil and good for good. That's kind of where we live, isn't it? Hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do good to me, I'll do good to you. You treat me poorly, I'm going to treat you poorly. That's the human level. But then comes the heavenly level, the third one. That's where we return good for evil. This is what Jesus taught us. He said, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. And all the literature I've ever read from the persecuted church, there's a line that runs through it all, always. Don't pray for us. Don't pray for my deliverance. Pray that we can bring Christ to our persecutors. That is their heart. That's what persecution, that's part of the fruit of the tree, isn't it? And that's the spirit. We come with the heavenly message, returning good for evil, doing good to those who spitefully use you. How is this possible? It is a kingdom principle. And based on that, we're going to come to the table this morning. And we're going to be remembering what Paul said, as we are members of the body of Christ. Jesus said, when we take this bread and this cup, we're to remember what he did. There it is again. Remember. We're supposed to remember. Well, did you forget? How could you forget that? It's real easy in the land of comfort. We get so prosperous, we forget about God. We forget. We don't see ourselves as we were before we entered into that relationship with him. This is a time when you are to remember what God has done for you. So we are to discern the body of Christ, Paul said. We're to discern it vertically, but then we must discern it horizontally. And that's with one another. And that's where Hebrews 13 comes in, that we remember, there we're told again, we must have this memory problem, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. I wonder how you'd pray if you were chained to them. Would it be different than sitting out on my porch with my cup of coffee? Lord, be with those persecuted people in the world. I pray that God would let me feel it deep in my heart. It always happens to me this week, and I don't want it to be just a week. God, I hope I never have to go through it, but if I did, Lord, I hope there would be people praying for me. And somehow, Lord, would you let them know? And that's one of the prayers. Let them know they haven't been forgotten. You are the free church for a reason. It's not just so you can heap unto yourself and have a good life. It's for the kingdom's sake. And I want to use my freedom for the kingdom. And this is one of the ways to do it. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member's honored, we all rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ, and you are members individually. We are one body. This is the table of unity. It brings us together, connects us together through Christ. It's the greatest message of Christianity. Male, female, slave, free, rich, poor. Doesn't matter what race we are, we're all one in Christ. And that's the spirit we're going to come to the table. I'm going to ask those who are serving to come forward, please. And they're going to take their positions, and I invite you to come. You're going to come down to the center aisle. You're going to take the bread and dip it in the cup and then make your way back again to your seat. And as you come, remember two things. Remember what God's done for you. And would you take time this Sunday to remember those in other places that do not enjoy your freedom, that are paying a dear price for their faith that we enjoy freely with great comfort. Would you remember that today? And remember what this makes possible for us. Father, we come to this table as your church. We are individually members of one another, but not just here in this place, but we're connected around the world. And Lord, I pray you let us somehow supernaturally feel what we need to feel today, but not just a feeling, but something even deeper, that we would be connected in this tree that bears this special fruit. I pray it'd be true for us. I'd like to believe that it could be true without persecution. And Lord, I'd pray that would be true. But Lord, someday it may be different for us. The map may change. It keeps changing. Lord, that may change for us someday, and I pray you would prepare us. We, like the Apostle Paul, declare everything as loss next to knowing you. We celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we prepare to leave? Thank you for coming today. You could have been other places because you live in the land of choice. And I thank you for choosing. I hope you've chosen wisely today. You're here because God wanted you here. I'm going to go home. I was thinking of watching our brother in North Korea with his Bible. Did you catch that as he hid it and cherished it? I think that's probably his most prized possession, do you think? I'm going to go home to my 20 Bibles. They're laying all over my house. Do I cherish them? Do I read them? I hope you'll be challenged today. Not shamed, not to be made to feel bad, but maybe made to want to just press in just a little more and take a hold of what God has given us today. Amen. Father, I pray over this congregation once again. Lord, there are those here, I believe, that you're speaking to individually about what their next step is. I know you've already spoken to me. And Lord, I don't want this to be just a one Sunday deal for me, but well, I want to experience something on a different level. Lord, I want to know what some of my brothers and sisters in other lands have come to know. I pray you would draw me to that place in you. Help us, Lord, I pray, to have an eternal perspective. Fill us with your joy, that delight that is not affected by pain or pleasure. Lord, let our conversion be real and true and authentic and life-changing. Lord, let there be no wax in our lives. Remove all the wax and bring us to a spirit of unity as the body of Christ. We are one together. Thank you for what you've done. We celebrate that today in our service to you in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. We're going to be here to pray this morning. Please take your liberty. If you're here and you need somebody to pray with you, we want to be available. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your day. We want to pray with you today. God bless you as you go. Go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.